League Cup matches going on at the moment, but the EPL, of course, is of great interest over the course of the Christmas period. Some big games there, impacted like all sports around the globe by COVID. And one of the stars of the Optus coverage of the EPL is Mark Schwarzer, OAM. As I mentioned, just the 109 games for the Socceroos. It's great to have him on this morning. G'day, Mark.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, really well. How's things over in the UK, mate? We see that games are postponed. We know that there's going to be games played in front of empty stadiums, but you're there on the ground. What's your take on the impact of COVID at Christmas this year?
Well, I think we're all waiting with bated breath as to see what the government will do. It's obviously, you know, we all know the severity of COVID and how the impact has been across the whole globe. UK is obviously one of those places where certainly the numbers are up there in terms of infection rates and obviously deaths, unfortunately. We talk about football and you kind of think, well, you know, is it worth it? Is it worth to play football these times when people are becoming very ill and some people, unfortunately, are losing their lives? And I think 2 years on since COVID is here, I think you kind of look at it and you think, you know what? If there's an opportunity for people to have some hope and some enjoyment in life, if football can continue, we want to continue. Mm. There are going to be some casualties. There are going to be, in terms of games being postponed, which we've already seen. But the Premier League obviously are confident with the clubs that they can get as many games as possible played. And whether that means without fans in the stadium, which is unfortunate, or certainly reduced numbers, so be it, certainly for the short term. Mm.
We're watching the League Cup at the moment, Mark, and Anfield is absolutely packed with fans. So it's clearly the fans want this to go ahead. They want that entertainment, especially this time of the year.
Absolutely. I think, you know, for a lot of people, you know, who have, you know, sat through the pandemic, who have, you know, double vaccinated, booster jabs and so on, people who want to try and get back to as much normality as possible, you can completely understand it. As footballers, certainly, and as an ex-footballer, being both sides of it, you know, understanding what it's like to be on the pitch, but also understanding what it's like to sit there and report on games, nothing beats having fans in the stadium.
Yeah.
And we want that. We want normality as quickly as possible. Obviously, we need to balance it with public safety. But, you know, from players' point of view, from fans' point of view, yes, we want to try and get as many people in the games as possible and get back to normality as soon as possible.
Mark, how many horses in this EPL race? Some people say Man City are over the line. Other people say two. Chelsea's there or thereabouts. How do you see it?
Yeah, listen, I don't think anyone's over the line quite yet. Certainly Manchester City have taken a slight advantage at this phase of the season. I think there's certainly a three-horse race. I think Liverpool, Chelsea are certainly in the race with Manchester City slightly ahead at the moment. I think the race for fourth place is incredibly exciting. I don't think necessarily that the three are sewn up, but they're getting close to being those three teams that will be there at the end of the season. I think, you know what, I think the season's going to be an incredibly exciting season. I hope we are talking, you know, one round out, two rounds out, and there could be any one of three winners come the end of the season. And of course, I want Chelsea to win. But, you know, let's hope that it's very, very close come the end of the season.
There's nothing better than the Premier League going down to that final round. It's just everybody's on edge. You've got five TVs in front of you. I mean, you all know what it's like. Hey, I want to ask you about Ange Postecoglou and the impact that he's had over there in Europe. He's obviously won his first piece of silverware with Celtic. A couple of Aussies involved in that game too, Tom Rogic and Martin Boyle. But in terms of Ange and what he's doing over there, what is his ceiling?
Listen, I think he's done an incredible job. I think, you know, when you think about the obstacles that are being laid in front of him, being written off from the minute he signed, certainly even leading up to it, people were writing him off before he even was appointed as manager. So then being appointed as the manager to people saying that there's no chance this is going to work, to having a bad start, you know, being knocked out of the Champions League, which, you know, could have happened to any single manager that took over at Chelsea, at Celtic at that period of time, because of the lack of time he had to spend with the team. Having literally zero opportunity to enforce any of his ideas on the side. To rebuild a side, you know, the expectation is to immediately have success. I think what he's done is remarkable. It's an incredible achievement for an Australian coach in Europe. And Celtic are back. Celtic are a side that have won their first piece of silverware and are certain genuine contenders to try and, you know, get back that title, the Scottish Premiership, away from Rangers again. So it's an exciting season for the Scottish Premiership. And Ange's been incredible so far. And I think also the positive thing is Tommy Robich has been fantastic for Celtic so far this season.
Yesterday, we had a lot of discussion on this program about ESPN Australia New Zealand. They named their top 25 influential sports people. Now, you can debate all you like about how they arrived at the 25. There were no male footballers on that list, but there was one female footballer, and she was number two on the list, Sam Kerr. What does that say? And you're part of the golden generation where at the time there could have been six Australian footballers on that list, Mark. What's it say about the state of Australian football? Does it so positive around the women, and what does it mean from a men's point of view?
Well, certainly for the women's game, it's an incredible achievement. Sam Kerr has been phenomenal for the Matildas. I think her transition coming since she's arrived at Chelsea has been phenomenal. I think her overall game has improved incredibly. Rightly regarded as one of the best players on the planet in the women's game, she's been outstanding, and it gives great hope for the Matildas come the World Cup in 2023. Let's not forget we have an abundance of women's footballers from Australia playing in Europe, who are doing incredible jobs as well. So I mean, really excited about the Matildas going forward. For the men's game, of course, you know, we know that we're not at the levels of previous years. However, it is what it is. And I think, you know, we've got to look at the positives. And like I mentioned just a short while ago, Tommy Rodic has been exceptional for Celtic. I think, you know, when you look at the variety, the path that the Socceroos have been on, you know, they set a new record in terms of games undefeated or winning games in World Cup qualifiers.
Yeah.
Yes, we've hit a bit of a blip. We're in a bit of a delicate situation right now. I think the team ethos, the teamwork, team togetherness is very, very good. Whether that will be enough to get the Socceroos to the World Cup, only time will tell. But it's certainly an interesting time, and we're in a bit of a transitional period right now. But I think there's still a lot of positives to be had around the men's team as well.
You mentioned the transitional period at the moment. How far off are we from another golden generation of male footballers? Who are the players that we should be looking out for in the future?
Well, I mean, how far away are we from it? I mean, I think that question is an interesting one, because I think if we knew the answer to it, I think everyone around the world would be right onto it and developing the talent overnight. That's not something that happens overnight, as we all know. How far are we away from it? That's something that I think we've got some young players coming through. I think time is always important. I think the problem you have is you want success. Managers need success now. They need to qualify. They need to have results, to take the chance to bring in young players, to take chances on young players, to give them experience is always a difficult one. With the Socceroos, I think with Graham Arnold in charge, you've seen a lot of young players come through, a lot of players that have had little experience with the Socceroos given an opportunity and also taken their opportunity in the national team. Whether or not that will be enough, the Socceroos to qualify, and that's ultimately how you'll be judged. And that's unfortunate in a lot of ways. However, I think for the good of the game, for the importance of the Australian team, the Australian game of football, we need the Socceroos to continuously qualify for World Cups. We can't have another 32 years of absence.
Yeah. Hey, Mark, just away from that, we're looking at Tom Brady in the NFL. He's 44 years of age and he's still getting it done, albeit he plays a position that perhaps allows that. But he's changed the thinking for every other quarterback in the league, where a guy like Aaron Rodgers, who's late 30s, can think, I've still got many more years left in me. You were playing elite level football aged 43. How did you find the understanding or the belief that you could keep getting it done? Was there anyone in particular? Was it your own mindset? I'm interested in that and the impact that can have on other people's thinking.
I think, you know, for me anyway, I mean, I was obviously in the game until I was 43. Was I playing elite football until 43? Not anymore. I mean, I played elite football regularly week in, week out at the age of 40. Chelsea a little bit towards, you know, into my 41 years of age. And then it kind of waned off a little bit after that. The thing about it is what it did do was enable a lot of people to think that, you know what, actually, if I look after myself, if I do the right things, if I become ultra professional, if I take the opportunities that are in front of me, if I understand how precious the role is, how an incredible opportunity it is, and take every day as it comes and try and make the most of it, maybe I'll be able to prolong my career. And, you know, listen, we all know, certainly as athletes, and unfortunately for a lot of people, they realize too late what an incredible life it is, what an incredible opportunity it is. For me, I was fortunate enough to realize it early enough to be able to change certain aspects of my life about my training to adapt. And I was able to prolong my career as long as I possibly could. And I think, you know, Tom Brady is an incredible example to still be playing, regardless of what he does. You know, whether he's a quarterback and he only plays for, I wouldn't even know how many minutes of the game he actually plays over the course of it, but he still has an incredible impact in his team's performance. Is remarkable. And I think it gives hope for every professional athlete around the world that if you do the right things, you look after yourself, and you are committed, you could prolong your career as long as possible.
Mm. Yeah, no doubt. Hey, before we let you go, Mark, we've been talking this morning about people's brushes with fame. It comes.
I did hear it. Yeah.
I'm gonna flex here. It's because Dwayne Wade retweeted an article that I wrote, so I'm literally like on cloud nine right now. I know you spent a lot of time around athletes that you will admire, people admire you as well, of course. But have you had one of those moments?
Well, the problem is we haven't got enough time to talk about my moments, unfortunately. I've had a number of them, and I'm not trying to boast about it at all. However, I'll give you a quick, really quick rundown of it. I mean, going to the World Cup draw in 2017 for the 2018 World Cup, I was on the plane with Gareth Southgate. With sitting there, well, going to the World Cup draw and coming across Samuel Eto'o, Didier Drogba, and then meeting my all-time favourite and biggest, you know, I mean, icon of the game of football, and I still believe he is Pelé, and I met him for a second time, which was absolutely incredible for me. And it was the only person I've ever really been in awe about is Pelé. Every time I've had a chance to meet him, that's twice, which was quite sensational. And I have to actually add, I did have an opportunity to play tennis with the great Pat Cash, which is quite amazing as well at Queen's. So I have to put that one in there as well. That was absolutely incredible.
What, did you get him 6-3 in the third?
I'm not even going to mention it. It's embarrassing. He is still, he can't move, but you can't get the ball past him. He is insane.
Very good. Hey, Mark, great to have a chat with you, mate. We really appreciate your insight. And it's our brush with fame this morning.
It is.
Thank you for your time.
Pleasure.
There he is, Mark Schwarzer, OAM, courtesy of Optus Sport. It's the home of the world's best football, including every match of the Premier League, live and exclusive. Before we go to a break, score update. Turn your wireless down. 3-1, Leicester over Liverpool.
Yeah, wow. It's the League Cup. Liverpool, they're just not, they surely have just not switched on today.
That's a very good point. Not sure the 11 that they've run out either, so we'll have to be checking that.